Good morning to you. We're honored again to have you with us this morning as we begin our second session on Father doesn't just have love, He is love. And this is an exciting session for me. I have just really been encouraged with it. You know, I commented last week that after we finished our sessions on power that makes possible, that we really weren't changing subjects. And the more that I study this, the more I'm convinced that that is true. That this love that the Father has loved us with, and as we saw last week, has placed in us so that we can love others with His love. I understand better the Lord telling me if I wanted to see miracles, that I needed to look and love with the compassion of Jesus. And if I did that, I'd never have to ask for it. I am just more and more convinced of that every time I open the Word to study and prepare for these sessions. Now, let me encourage you, if you did not hear last week's, even though we're going to review it, please go back and listen to it, because it really sets the stage for what we're going to cover today and probably the next 3 or 4 weeks as we begin to get into love's actions. And you'll understand that a little more in just a moment. So let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we do thank you first and foremost for sending Jesus, the ultimate act of love, and for the ultimate grace that you have shown to us by placing your Spirit in us, love itself alive in us, that we may love others as you have loved us. Father, that's an overwhelming thought, but we choose to believe it. And by believing it, we shall understand it and we shall walk in it in the fullness of your blessing. So we give you praise and honor today, and we say Jesus is our Lord. Hallelujah and amen. Let me begin by talking about the flow of God's love in a very quick review from what we did last week. I'll mention a lot of scriptures. I may not call them out by name, but you can follow on the notes. And again, I would suggest you get these notes because we're going to be using some translations again today that maybe you don't have easy access to. And you can do that by sending a Facebook message to Patricia Dudley or to the ministry presence on Facebook, Minton Williams Ministries, or you can send us an email at info@mintonwilliams.com. So the flow of God's love. We base this study and have based it and will stay based on 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. And I'm just going to read 8. For love is from God. And then it goes on to say, God is love. And that's really 7 and 8. I just have abbreviated both of them. Now, what's the key point there? We're to love just as God loves us. But the key point is, God just doesn't have love. He is love. That's His nature. That's His characteristic. The Weiss translation of John 17:26 is also essential for what we're studying here. And that verse really says, the love which you've loved me might be in them. This is Jesus talking now. Now understand that. The love that the Father loved me, Jesus says, might be in them and I in them. So that's why we can have this love that we're going to be seeing today, how we can begin to act on it. Loving others as the Father loved Jesus and as He loves us. So with that, we begin to look at God's love for me. And like we said, it's very clear in John 17:23, the Father loves you and I just like He loves Jesus. We saw in Jeremiah, the book 31st chapter, that we are drawn by His love and that His love is an everlasting love. That love caused Him to do what? To give. That's how He drew us, by giving Jesus. And we see that in John 3:16. And that's the highest love that one can have, because that Jesus was the one that the Father loves the most. And now we are in Him in that same love. We saw in 1 John 4:16 that we've come into an intimate experience with God's love. The Passion Translation read that way. And now we can trust in that love. That's where it talks about we've known and believed the love that the Lord has for us. And with that then, we see and have the basis of His love, so that we looked at 4 things concerning us and our reaction to that love. The first was what? That we love the Father back. And we love him only because he first loved us. And we're to love him with our whole being, our whole heart. And I want to mention a really key point that we spent a lot of time on last week. If you feel you're lacking in love for the Father, where's your focus? Is it on you and all the things you're not doing right? Or you put it back on him and see how much he loves us and let that love begin to manifest in us. And then we'll see how we can love him more and more. We can increase in love, as he says in other books that we didn't look at last week. And then there's loving myself. We looked at Mark 12:31, where he talks about the second great commandment of loving thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I'll be honest with you. A lot of Christians, I wouldn't want them loving me like they love themselves. But what we do sometimes is think, well, I can't love myself. I don't want to do that. I'll be built up with pride. No, no, no. When we love with God's love, there's no selfishness involved. None whatsoever. And it's all because Christ lives in us anyway. That's how that love comes to us, as Galatians 2:20 tells us. That's why I can love myself in an appropriate manner, because I'm honoring the love himself who dwells in me. The next thing then is the last part of that verse in Mark 12:31 that says we're to love our neighbors. And so if I'm loving myself as God sees me, then I ought to be able to love those that God's put me around as he sees them. We looked at verses that says we don't look at the physical. We look at the potential that God sees with people in 2 Corinthians 5. And what we see then is that how I see and view people and how I love them is really becoming a direct reflection of my love for God and the value that I show people. And that's just going to be amplified in what we see today. The value that I have for people and how I love them is a direct reflection of my love for the Father. And again, don't let this beat you down. Just let's go back to how much the Father loves us if we think we're not loving others enough, and then let it build and watch the results. And then finally, we looked at John 13:34 and 35, which I believe is a very, very important scripture. And Jesus is talking to his own here. So I believe this is to the church today. And it says, I want to read this in its entirety. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as or just like I have loved you. And then verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I told you last week, I've always thought that what people would see was just the love that we have for each other, and they would want to be a part of that love. And I think that's true. But the Lord has also shown me what? That if we are operating in love, we have positioned ourselves for that power that makes possible to begin to flow through us. So I believe they're also going to behold signs and wonders that are happening through us for the benefit of others to see. People want to be a part of a group that's love, where they're respected, they can grow, and they can really be cared for. And that's what I believe we can do when we walk in love. And what we saw is that love really impacts how we walk. Our walk of love impacts every area of our life. So today we're going to begin talking about serving those whom you prefer. So the starting word and the last word are really the key words for today. But before I do that, I want to read to you and with you 1 John 13, verses 4 through the first part of A. And we're doing this in the Amplified, and this is included in your notes because I think it's the best description of these verses that I have found in the different translations. And so really what I'm talking about is loving with love, loves, I should say, love. Loving with love himself's love. And here's what it reads. And we're going to read this probably more than once during this session. because the actions that we're about to discuss today really flow from this. Again, the flow of that love. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, and it does not display itself haughtily. Now, do not start judging others nor yourselves as we read this. Let this just begin to soak into your heart and receive it so that the revelation of it and how to walk in it can just begin to increase. It continues and says, it is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude, in other words, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, that's not my adding, that's there, does not insist on its own rights or own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account to the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It, love, does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Wow. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. Let me just say that one again. Love's hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. And it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. All I can say about that is Selah. Pause and think about that. That's a great scripture for you to begin the day with for a season. Just mulling that over and seeing how we can live day to day. Now, again, we're going to be talking today then, building on that, looking at some actions of love. And today is entitled, Serving Those Whom You Prefer. So I want to talk first about the first action and say that love prefers. And I'm going to do it in talking about your brother. Go with me to Romans 12, verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. This chapter is about love and us presenting our bodies as a sacrifice, that sacrifice of love that we would make to the Lord. And so that love is continued talking about down in verse 9. And it says this, let love be without hypocrisy. So no fake on it, no faking it, no acting like it and then talking differently. We love, period. And then it says what we've actually seen in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, abhor what is evil. So we might say love abhors what is evil and love clings to what is good. And then verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. So we're continuing to talk about love. And this last phrase says, give preference. Or some translations say prefer one another, but give preference to one another in honor. And in honor, let's just think of that about how we esteem something. The depth, the height that we esteem something, or in this case, a person. So the God kind of love prefers his brother, or we can say his sister. Now, let me talk about the word prefer in the Greek. It has a real interesting meaning. In fact, there are two parts of it, and it almost sounds like it's a dichotomy, but it's not. In the Greek, this word prefer means to go before and lead, but it also means to show deference. In other words, to give in to someone, to let someone else have a position instead of you. Now, think about this. Put these two together. We're taking the lead in showing deference or honor to one another. That's how we are to prefer our brothers. Some of the other translations, easy to read. I'm going to go through five or six of these. Give each other more honor than you give yourself. The NIV is very plain. Honor one another before yourself. The New Living says, take delight in honoring others. English Standard, I really like, says, outdo one another in showing deference. Now remember that definition. To take the lead and to show deference. So this one really embodies both aspects of that Greek word. The Passion says, try to outdo yourselves. In other words, we're never stopping with this. We're ever increasing in how we do it. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of another. Complete Jewish says, set examples. Now, let's stop there. So if the world wants to see how we are to love each other, where should they look? To you. To me. Now, I know I've fallen miserably short of that too many times. But I'm not condemning myself. I'm just looking back and seeing Jesus and His love and beginning to model what He's done. So it says, set examples for each other in showing respect. And the Message just puts it in practical language that everyone can understand. Practice playing second fiddle. In other words, don't put yourself ahead of others. Prefer. Now, I want to talk in a minute about what the devil will tell us about this. But I want you to understand, if we love like this, others are going to be happy. It's going to bring joy to others. And most importantly, you're going to be happy. Now that's exactly opposite from what the devil tells us. He says he wants us to believe that if we prefer others, we won't be happy because we're going to be always focused on others and therefore things that I want and need won't be met. And then if we act in that manner, then what does he do? He condemns us. And condemns us doesn't cause any change or any growth. We just end up in a circle that's a downward spiral. But let me tell you a very quick story about something that brought me the most joy that I can think of, as much joy as anything I've ever done for someone. And it was cutting their grass. In Tennessee, in our last home on Chesterfield Drive in Johnson City, we had a gentleman who lived up at near the entrance to the subdivision, about a half mile away from me, who was a minister, and he really ministered to the people in Pakistan. He would go over there for long periods of time, grow his beard, dark complexion, looked very much like the people there. And the Lord told me one day, go cut his grass. Now, yeah, I walked by his house every day, and I had noticed that his grass was long. And I almost thought, well, he must not be there. He must be over in Pakistan. So I grabbed my lawnmower when I got home. This was actually, I grabbed it later in the day because it was quite warm by the time I did. Not compared to Macon standards, but for Johnson City standards. And I pushed it up there, and I push mowed that whole yard that was grown very high, and it wore me out. But the long and short of that story is when I knocked on his door to tell his wife, he answered. And so I told him, just very bluntly, I'm a believer. I know what you do. The Lord has instructed me to mow your yard, and would you allow me to do it? And he was overwhelmed and said yes. And we shared some other things that I think encouraged him. When I got through, I was worn out. But by the time I had gotten to my house, I was so full of joy, I was strong again. An act of preferring my brothers. Cutting grass is not my number one joyful thing to do. Yet it brought joy to him and joy to me. So it's time, I believe, for us to increase in this love as we prefer one another and the joy that it would bring. Now, let's look at the opposite end of the spectrum, James 3:16. James 3:16 tells us that where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder, I might say disarray or a mess, and every evil thing, or some translations say every evil work. That to me, that selfish action, that having pride, that focused on myself versus preferring my brother, look what it says it brings. It's the opposite of preferring, and it brings every evil work as well as confusion. That's what we don't want to see as a part of our life. Now, think about our country today. What is everybody concerned about? Themselves. Even the politicians are more concerned with what they can do to look good to stay in office than what's really good for you and I. And I would also ask you to look at the church. Your church, other, don't look at other churches. Just look where you're planted. And let's make sure that we're not doing what this verse talks about toward our brethren. That we're not there to, for what we can get. That we're there to what we can give and serve, which is the next thing we're going to be looking at, in the church. It just ought not be so, yet a lot of times you see a lot of strife going on, and that's what one of the things this is talking about. The Passion Translation says, "You will also find many troubles and every kind of meanness." Now, I've had people tell me for a number of years, some Christians are the meanest people I know. Do you think that there might be a correlation to this preferring others in this walk of love? Now, let's go to Philippians. And I want to look at Philippians chapter 2. And in doing so, we're going to read, your notes say the first four verses. But verse 4 I'm going to read but not talk about. If therefore, verse 1, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, and any affection and compassion, make my joy complete. Now that's a key phrase. By being of the same mind, by maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And then verse 3, which is the focus of what I want to talk about in this section. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. And then verse 4 goes on, and we'll talk about this one in a moment. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Wow. Now, that first verse, if you read it in most translations, you might have some questions. Let me read you the Passion, because I think it gives us a good explanation without trying to go through it in great, great detail. Look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship with the Anointed One. So that tells us we ought to what? We ought to be getting encouraged. We ought to have hope increasing. We ought to be strengthened. You are filled to overflowing with His comforting love. And so that's the basis of it. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit. And you felt, and here's love again, His tender affection and His mercy. And we know in the Old Testament, mercy is that word, hesed. And then verse 2. So it starts by saying in New American Standard and many others, make my joy complete. So here's a connotation that what I'm about to talk about, as well as what I just talked about, is bringing joy to each of us. Let me read this one in the Passion also, since we've started with it. Paul says, so I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity. Now let's just stop there. Unless we acknowledge that we have this common bond of love that Jesus has placed in us, there's not a lot that we're going to have in unity. So I believe it is the basis for unity. And it is why the devil fights so strongly to keep us from loving one another, particularly in the church, because we are the ones with the authority today. So be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united, how? In one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounded joy, Paul writes. So I take from this verse, his love should be motivating us in even what we're hearing today from the Lord. It's enabling us so that we can walk in this love in these three things, having one heart, one passion, just like the folks in the upper room in Acts 2. And it all comes as we are what? United in one love. And then that brings us to verse 3, which is really the one that I'm here to talk about today. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, it says, but with humility of mind. Now remember, with humility comes what? More grace that we saw in previous weeks. Let each of us regard one another as more important than ourselves. This brings joy when we do this. When we treat others as more important than me, this brings joy to Paul, and we know it did to Paul because it brings joy to Jesus. And what did we see in the earlier verse? And in my example, it'll bring joy to us as well. So we're treating people really as though we think they are better than us, at least equal, if not better. And we saw again, all are valuable to God in that 2 Corinthians 5. And folks, this isn't a suggestion. This is our command, our order. Listen to the Amplified for this verse. Do nothing from factional motives through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, for unworthy ends. Or don't do it prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility. Again, more grace flows to who? The humble, who submit to Jesus in his way. So in the spirit of humility, let each regard the others as better and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than we do ourselves. King James says, let us esteem one another better. The English Standard says, count others more significant than ourselves. Complete Jewish says, regard each other. But the message, and I want to close this part of the study with this verse of Philippians, says, put yourself aside and help others get ahead. And as I pondered that, I heard the Lord say, this is really what I have asked you and what you're doing. And what I mean by that is that he has me teaching, studying the word, getting the revelation that he gives, living it out, which I have to do just because I teach it doesn't mean I get a free pass on living it. But I have to live this out. But what I am doing with this is I'm investing time and energy. I'm esteeming you highly in the time I spend preparing, which I'll be honest, there are times I'd rather go do some other things. But I know what I've been called to do. And what the Lord has given me as a mandate is to make my ceiling your floor. In other words, put you in a position as high as I've gone so that you can go even higher in your walk. That's my hope with all that we're doing. So the question is then, how do we do this in our individual lives? And I don't mean to make this about me. Please don't understand that. But I do want you to see that that's how much the Lord loves you, that he's asked someone to spend time just for you. And we don't have thousands of people watching. So this is just so important to me. How do we do this? Well, we've got to make a conscious decision to pick one person above another, to pick someone above myself. And you say, well, gosh, that's hard to do. You do it all the time. I can remember the first time I went to Texas, went to a great place to eat barbecue outside of Longview, Texas. And they had ribs and brisket. And I had to make a decision. What was I doing? I was choosing to prefer one over the other, and I picked that. And that's what we're doing when we make this choice ourselves. Now, is this something Jesus did? Yes. And I want you to view these verses with this perspective a little bit differently, maybe. So let's look at Mark, the 15th chapter. And we're going to start in the 29th verse and read 29, 30, and 31. But I'm going to read it to you for time's sake only in the New Living Translation. And this is a set of scripture that's talking about where Jesus saved others, but they were saying he couldn't save himself. But listen to this with the thoughts of that choosing others above yourself. The people passing by shouted abuse. Jesus is on the cross, shaking their heads in mockery. Ha, look at you now, they yelled at him. You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself and come down from that cross. The leading priests and teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus. He saved others, they said. They scoffed. But he can't save himself. Now, I just want to pause a minute and ask, is that a true statement? Is that the truth? No. The truth is, Jesus said, I don't have to go through this. I can call right now and angels will come rescue me. Many angels. What was Jesus doing? He was preferring you and I over himself. The truth is, he made a choice, himself or us. And if he got himself off the cross, what a mess, what a pickle we would be in today. He did that out of what? He preferred us out of the love that the Father had placed in him and that he was loving the Father with, because he was then what? Obedient to the Father. Now just as you read this now, just look at that last line. He saved others, but he can't save himself. I want you to go away thinking, he picked me and he stayed on the cross. Oh my. So, how do we view this choice too often? Well, we say, I've got wants, I've got needs. You think Jesus didn't feel that on the cross? Yet he preferred others. But when we're thinking about my wants and my needs, we're not preferring others at all. If I always prefer others, we think, then I'll never get anything that I want or need. Well, let's see if that's what Scripture says. Look, go with me to John 15, 10 through 12, because really what we're saying here is that if I'm doing this, I'm just going to be like a rug and people are going to walk all over me. And here's what Jesus said. And again, I want you to think about joy. New Living Translation. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Now, don't forget, we're talking about preferring. So that's his commandment that we're talking about. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Oh, so he's telling us to prefer others so that we will have the same joy he did. Yes, your joy will overflow. And can I add, when we prefer others, isn't that what he's saying to us here? This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. In other words, preferring us. The ultimate love that he showed for us. And let's think about John 14, 21. So just turn back a page and I'm going to read this in New King James. When we do this, when we obey his commandments because of love, which we've seen in John 14 earlier, three times in that chapter, if you love me, you'll obey me. Look at what 21 says. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest or make my shining of myself to him. In other words, he's going to manifest his glory. Now, what do we know comes with glory? When he manifests his light and his glory to us, power is coming with it. So what is that power going to do? It's going to help us have our needs met. But it starts where? By preferring others. So it's a daily choice we must make. And it's not something we just act like we love each other at church or anywhere else. Now, to keep this commandment, it's going to cost you some things. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost maybe what you want to do at the moment, but you do it as you esteem someone else, as you prefer them higher. Listen to what 1 Timothy 1:14 says. And I want to read this verse because we can do this in grace with love and faith active. So we're not just doing it in love. You're going to have to do it by faith as well. 1 Timothy 1:14 in New King James. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. And how was it exceedingly abundant? With faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And so knowing that I'm going to have my needs met because God's going to take care of me as I keep his commandment of love and walk in faith. Now, this is a commandment of love to us all. It's a daily commandment. In the military, they have an order of the day, and it changes sometimes. But this is our order of the day, every single day that we're taking breath on this earth. Now, let me read you the passage from 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 through 12. And I'm doing this in Passion because I want you to see how this referring each other and really every other one we're going to talk about doesn't bring glory to you, but to the one who deserves glory. With this in mind, we constantly pray, Paul writing to the Thessalonians, that our God will empower you to live worthy of all that he has invited you to experience. And we pray that by his power, all the pleasures of goodness and all the works of faith will fill you completely, which includes his love. By doing this, so when we walk and we experience all that and walk in that love, the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you, and you will be glorified in him by the marvelous grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. When we prefer one another, our Jesus, my Jesus, gets the glory. Hallelujah. So preferring. But we're also not just talking about preferring today. And what was the title that we're talking about here? We are serving those who we prefer. So I'm going to talk next about this action verb and say it this way. Love serves. Now go back to Philippians 2 with me and let's pick up in verse 4. We've already seen prefer one another. See one another is more important. But verse 4 says, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. And then 5 goes on and says, have this attitude in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, I know it's talking about some things that follow, but we can also have this same attitude in us because we've seen that it's in Christ Jesus. And so what this is literally saying is we don't work just for ourselves to get our own. In other words, we're not making it all about me, but we are working or serving others. Now, the key question then is, did Jesus do it? So yes, go to the book of Mark, the 10th chapter. And we're going to start in verse 41. So in this, James and John have made a request of where they want to sit in the kingdom. And verse 41 picks up. And hearing this, the 10 began to feel indignant with them. They got upset with them. They weren't preferring them like they could. And calling them to himself, Jesus said, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And as I read that, even this morning before recording, it made me think that's happening in our nation today. People think they know better for us. They are lording their ways over us. That's the Gentiles. That's not Jesus' way. We choose to follow his way, the best way. And it says, their great men exercise authority over them. 43, but it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Or literally saying, one who serves. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave or servant or serving of all. And look at this statement about Jesus. And if it's true about him, how much more should it be true of us? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life for a ransom. Now, King James says he did not come to minister. Same concept. To minister to one is to serve one. The Passion Translation says, he didn't come expecting to be served by everyone, but to serve everyone. And he did that, whether they accept that or not. As it talks about, to give his life in a ransom in exchange for the salvation of many. The Message says he came to serve, not to be served, and then to give his life away. Now, let me just say, and it's obvious, but I just want to make this comment. We give our life away not by going to the cross like Jesus did, but we give our life away by choosing to serve others. So we're not the Redeemer. That's already been done. Jesus lived this way, not only in his death, but in his life. Look at John 13. Now in John 13, they're gathering just before the feast of the Passover. And in verse 5, he's pouring out water to begin to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he's girded. So what is he doing? He's taking the role of the lowest servant, a doulos, and he's performing these tasks. And then in talking to him, this is where Jesus says, "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will." And Peter says in verse 8, "You're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, then you have no part of me." Now, I want you to think about this a little differently. If you don't let me wash your feet, if you don't let me serve you, then you don't have a part of me. In other words, if you don't let me serve you as I want you to serve others. And then Peter, that's when he says, "Lord, not my feet, but my whole body." And he said, "No, your body doesn't need it. You're clean. It's only your feet that are dirty." And you know, then he washed their feet. Now, in this account, he is treating them as more important than himself, which is exactly what he was choosing to do for them as well as for us. What? On the cross. And I will say, this also applies to you and I. But it applies to you and I in much, much more than just a foot washing. Now, I think that is a very humbling thing to do. I've been a part of it. I have had my feet washed by others. I've washed others' feet. But I'm going to tell you, that is not the main thing that is being talked about here. It is talking about us having this attitude, this heart of a servant to serve others. I'll be blunt with you. I know many who would participate in a foot washing, but who never would walk in this type of love that we're talking about of serving. This is the whole point of this. Jesus saying, "I came to serve." And then when Peter said that, he said, "You have no part of me." I believe what he's saying is, you're going to have to serve others if you want to have that part in me. Galatians 5, verses 13 and 14. Galatians 5, 13 and 14. Paul writing says this, "For you were called to freedom," and we know the truth sets us free. We know Jesus is the truth and he is the one who set us free. But this says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom in an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And then right after that, he quotes that verse that says we shall love our neighbor as ourselves. Wow. 1 Corinthians 1:9 verse 19, Paul writing also says this, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all." Why is he doing that? "That I might win the more." So we see here, we're not going to win the lost by doing things that promote us, but we're going to have to prefer others. And when we prefer others, then we're going to have to act on that and serve them. And saints, this is where I believe we're beginning to position ourselves for the power of God to flow through in abundance as we look on with great compassion on others. Can I show you this in the life of one who served tables? Acts 6. And this is of Stephen. And we're not going to read all of this, but first three verses, the disciples are just running here and to and fro, getting things done, doing things, and they realize we need to stay in the Word so that we can teach the Word after we receive revelation from the Lord. And so then in verse 3, he tells them to serve tables and do so by selecting out 7 men of good reputation who are full of the Spirit. In other words, they understand the love of God and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. So they do that. And then they pick, verse 5 says, they pick Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. So there's love and faith that we're talking about there. We've already mentioned it. And it names the others. And this says that in verse 7 that the word of the Lord began to keep spreading. Now, I don't believe personally that it spread just because of the 12. I believe it was spreading also because of what people like Stephen were doing. Serving others. Literally carrying food to others. Meals on Wheels, we said earlier, the first. And look at verse 8. When Stephen did this, full of grace and power. Humility got Stephen more grace, but what came with that? The power of God, that power that makes possible. He was performing, verse 8 says, great wonders and signs amongst the people. And then if you look over in chapter 7, all the way to the end, when he was going to be stoned, look at how Jesus honored him. And the point I want to make is he's honoring him because of where he's come from and where he is to, of defending him and willing to lay down his life for him, to serve others. And look at what happened. He said, behold, I see the heavens open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand. And then in verse 60, he said, don't hold this against him. So what is happening? Jesus is standing to honor him as he is giving his life, which began doing what? Serving others, full of grace and power. And look at where this carried him to. But where did it start? Serving others. I want you to look at Matthew 25 with me, verse 34. And these are the words of Jesus. And again, we read down through this, but sometimes we read it not thinking about this whole concept of acting on love to serve others. Jesus talking said, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to drink. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him and saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And look at what Jesus answered to him. And what are we talking about now? First part, we talked about preferring others. And now we're talking about how that preferring leads to us serving others. And the king will answer and say, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the very least of them, you did it to me. So we see here how serving people is a direct indicator of how much we love and serve our Lord Jesus. Might I say it this way? Serving his people through his love is loving and serving God. Serving his people through his love is how we love and serve God. Now, I want to read a verse that you can take as encouragement. Now, I don't want it to be taken wrong at all. It's in Romans 16. And I want to read it today from the Passion Translation. We're going to close with this one. So I want this to encourage us, not discourage us. And I want you to see, I think it's a great way to wrap up today's session with how the Lord views this and how he feels. So Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. And I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. In other words, they're more concerned about pulling people to themselves than they are the Lord, and they teach things that sound good, but that aren't true. Stay away from them. And when that kind of strife comes, what comes with it? Confusion and every evil work. Meanness, mean people, we saw it said in one translation. Such people, verse 18 begins, are not serving Christ our Lord, but they are serving their own personal interests. And they do it by smooth talk and glowing words. They deceive innocent people. Let us not be deceived and carried away. And then there's verse 19. But everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. Hallelujah. What an encouragement to be told by Paul. And I believe that's the same is true with you today, because that's why you're here, so that you can grow in this love, so that you can act and prefer your brother and now serve him. But everyone knows that you're obedient to the Lord. And Paul says, this makes me very happy. Now, why was Paul very happy with it? Because he knew Jesus was pleased with it. I want you to be wise in doing right and stay innocent of any wrong. And then look at verse 20. When we do this, when we operate in love and prefer our brothers and serve our brothers, and we make sure we don't get caught up and carried away with things about ourselves and false teachings, look what this verse 20 says. Look how this follows. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Can I read that one more time? But everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. This makes me very happy. I want you to be wise in doing right and to stay innocent in every wrong. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of God be with you. Preferring others. And just remember, preferring others and serving others, that you will sow what you reap. So as much as you sow into others, you're going to have fellow believers preferring and sowing into you. I got to read verse 20 one more time. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. We're going to continue in looking at actions of love next week as we look forward to how these power gifts, signs and wonders can flow through us as we look with the same compassion that Jesus did, just as we've seen today. And leave with this one thought. On the cross, Jesus preferred you over himself. I love you. We'll see you next week.